Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with my buddy JVL. When we did our dramatic reading of J.D. Vance's awful book, Communion, we told you, we promised you that we were going to have a little dessert, a little treat for you over the weekend. Didn't make it around to it for the weekend, but we're still cashing in on this. We're cashing in on our promise. We do follow through a little late, so you get it today. And JVL, what I want to do for people is just take a quick little tour through what the Iran hawk world was saying about the Iran war back in March. And just go meet some of our favorite. Yeah. Meet some of our friends, you know, whether it be Scott Jennings or Ben Shapiro or many other friends who are just huge cheerleaders for the Iran war. Let's just take a revisit to see what they were saying back then. I thought that'd be fun for everybody. Before we do that, though, your newsletter on Friday was about what that crowd is saying now. Hugh Hewitt, conservative hawk radio host, and some others. So why don't you just to kind of prepare us for what they were, you know, saying was happening in the war in March. Why don't you give us a sense for how they're feeling now?
So what's interesting is that as the details of the memorandum of understanding were beginning to slowly emerge, there was a lot of coping. And so that coping came in two ways. First was, this can't possibly be true. Donald Trump would not do that. Don't worry. That thing isn't going to happen. And the other form came in some of these folks trying to butch up and warn the Trump administration that if they were to do the surrendering of the scale that the memorandum of understanding suggested they were planning on doing, that they would have a very sternly worded letter to send to them. They might even ask for the manager. And what I said to people was, I said, look, you have to understand that all of these people will get on side. They'll get on side so fast your head will spin. And it turned out I had said in my newsletter on Friday, I said, you know, it might take 2 weeks. It might take 2 months. It might take years. It took 48 hours. It took literally 48 hours. And they almost all, not all of them, there have been some notable exceptions who have stood on principle, but almost all of them have come up with rationalizations for why actually everything is great. And these rationalizations go from, hey, the deal is good, to actually, don't worry, this isn't a deal at all. This is just my favorite. This is Hugh Hewitt. Trump is just buying time so that after the Republicans hold the Senate and the House in the midterm elections, we will have rearmed and then we can really go to war against Iran.
Yeah. I love that. It was a punt for field position is what he called it.
That's what he called it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Huh. Well, I'm sure that's going to happen. That seems really likely.
Sure.
With how this one went. And I do think if we really went to war next time, it would go a lot better. I think it's important to now go back to watch these March videos to appreciate, though, like the degree of, like, to extend the football metaphor, end zone dancing and football spiking that was happening, like, in the first few days of the war. Like the idea that this MOU and punting for time and, you know, weakening their Navy was going to be acceptable, like, is belied by the view at the beginning, which was total domination, unconditional
total surrender. Domination.
Who knows? Freedom for the Iranian people was at hand. Okay. So we're going to go through some of our faves. We're going to start here. Shout out to our guy, Brendan, Dansley, and Jasmine, who are going through all of this. So we're going to go in the order selected by them. I think probably we put Ben Shapiro first because on last week's TNL, we were talking about how I wanted a mug of his tears. And you were like, it might just be a shot glass for Ben Shapiro because it's hard to fill.
That was your joke, not mine, but that's okay.
I think you said the shot glass. Was it me? Was I just complimenting myself?
I just want to give you credit. That's all.
That'd be pretty bad if I was complimenting myself. Okay. Whatever. I do make funny jokes sometimes. Let's watch Ben Shapiro in the early days of the war talking about how courageous the president was.
Well, we are in day three of President Trump's military operation in Iran. It's the most courageous military decision of my lifetime, and we are kicking ass. The United States military, the Israeli military working in tandem are kicking the hell out of the Iranian government. President of the United States, spot on again. What he is doing right now is the most courageous thing I have ever seen a president do. He is stepping into the breach. He is smartly recognizing opportunity when it arises, and he is taking strong steps to protect America's future, and not only the future of our allies, but the future of the globe.
America! Fuck yeah, we got the planes going in. I'd like to make sure there's a dramatic pause before he said smartly about Trump. You almost knew there's like a little internal tick that he had. I'm about to call Donald Trump smart right now. Well, there you go. Kicking the hell out of the Iranian government.
Real, the most courageous thing ever.
He was president.
Well, okay. I mean, Reagan said tear down this wall. George W. Bush went and did this thing where he staked billions of dollars on a global campaign to eliminate AIDS, knowing that a bunch of conservatives were going to make fun of him for it. I don't know. I can think of other courageous things that, American presidents have done.
Went and stood on the rubble. Memory.
George W. Bush going to stay on the right. Yeah, you know, whatever. Look,
Obama
teaches on.
It's a sending it's people a in to kill thing. Osama bin Laden, who is being held by our new friends, the Pakistanis, who are the ones J.D. Vance says are doing such a good job.
Subjective okay. judgment, Tim. Reasonable
courageous.
People
is he? Do we think Donald Trump is still acting courageously right now as he cowers? No? Okay. After he showed courage, Ben Shapiro made a pretty bold claim about how things are going to look following the war in Iran. Let's take a look at that.
But the worst thing here is not chaos. It's not. The worst thing here is a re-enshrinement of the Ayatollahs. It is also the most unlikely thing here. The only truly terrible outcome here would be a strengthened Ayatollah regime, which seems at this point to be literally the most unlikely actual outcome. So what is likely to happen next in Iran? Well, the least likely outcome is the one that we actually fear the most. The Ayatollahs lasting and rebuilding and somehow becoming stronger than they were.
The least likely and most truly terrible outcome is exactly what we got.
I gotta say, this is a defensible position for about 72 hours into the war. After that, it is not defensible at all. Because by about 72 hours in, it became clear that like, oh, actually, the regime is held, right? You know, they clearly were the mosaic strategy that they've been planning for 35 years actually worked. They have command and control. They retain the ability to strike targets overseas. And that's when also became clear that the American government seems to have paid no attention to the reinsurance industry in Lloyd's of London and had no plan to help guarantee insurance for shipping in the Strait. And so, I don't want to like pat myself on the back here, Tim.
Okay.
But it seem to me that the state of affairs we are in became the most likely outcome really fast. Like, maybe not like by the end of the first week, but by the end of like week two, it was pretty clear that actually this is where we were heading. And
yeah, I appreciate your generosity of spirit, but I don't even think in day three, the current outcome was the most unlikely actual outcome, which is what he said.
Yeah. Now, if we had to actually diagram this out and like the most unlikely probably would have been
the Shah coming back. There were people talking about Reza, the descendants of the Shah returning from the West. Yeah. Or how about another thing that Ben Shapiro was pushing back then on most unlikely outcomes, that we could arm the Kurds. And that the Kurds
would sweep down from the north. Yeah. Also seemed pretty unlikely from the very beginning.
Yeah. I just love, though, that the only truly terrible outcome is the outcome we got.
But also, like, I mean, that is laying down a marker, right? I mean, that is the outcome. The outcome we got is the Iranians traded from an aging leader who they had a succession drama about to like they've got clearly a leadership team now. They as of right now, as we sit down to tape, they are allowed to sell oil on the global market without sanctions for the first time in bazillion years. And
Americans can buy them now.
We can now get Iranian oil in our cars. And you fill up your Ford F-150 Raptor with good old Ayatollah oil.
And it's Pride Month, so it's the game.